Now, although yesterday, in a sense, was self-contained, and we were thinking very much about, if I may put it like this, relationships as God intended, thinking particularly yesterday, those of us who were together, about the potential for the single life, the potential for the married life, and the potential then for the family life. And in that last session together, we were just touching a little about the way in which that might translate in towards our feelings to each other as what we might call a family in the assembly. So although they were self-contained in that sense yesterday, and we're not really following on from that today, in a sense we are. Because what I'd like to do is just to think with you a little today about relationships again, and very practically to think about our feelings towards each other and our feelings towards the unsaved. I want to ask you this afternoon, and me, I'm not talking at you but with you, I want to ask you what your feelings are for the people of God, whether you have any feelings for them at all. Whether you feel a sense of relationship with them that leads you to feel with them and for them, and indeed what your feelings might be for the unsaved that we rub shoulders with day by day. Just to do that for a few moments, I want you to turn with me to an Old Testament passage again. We were in the Old Testament last night to hang a few thoughts upon, and I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Samuel, please, and chapter 30. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. I see John's taking his coat off, so I'm going to take one off. Always take your cue from the elders, don't you? And incidentally, I owe him an apology because I humiliated him last night by saying that all the young people choose the younger type hymns and call it the new ones. And you can always tell with the old ones because they choose the old ones. And a young man came up to me afterwards and said, I chose those two old ones that John gave out. So there we are. I have to apologise to him for that. You can be so wrong, can't you? Assuming things. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Here are the Lord's people. Here are the people of God. And it came to pass, verse 1, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Go down to verse 16 and see what's happened to the people of God. And when he had brought them down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, these Amalekites, eating and drinking and dancing, because of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Wonder how you would have felt. Wonder how I would have felt if we had viewed that scene that is presented to us particularly in verses 1 and 2 and verse 16. Here are the Lord's people in desperate condition. Here are the Lord's people taken captives. Verse 2, none of them slain, but carried away. And when David comes upon them in verse 16, you discover the Lord's people who are being abused and misused by these Amalekites. Now, I've got to be very conscious of my time this afternoon. I'm strictly on 5 o'clock and 7:15 tonight. So I'm not going to be able to expand all these things that we were reading together. Even if I was able, we haven't got the time to do that. But I just want to present to you, if I may, and those of you who will study will go away and look at these Amalekites and see the kind of people that they are, and you'll get all kinds of lessons from that. But primarily this afternoon, first of all, I just want you to view with me the condition of the people of God, a people in tremendous need. The people of God had never changed. The people of God are always in tremendous need. Have you ever stopped to look at them? Have you ever stopped to look at the condition of the Lord's people? Do you have any feelings for them at all? Do you have any heart for them at all? We were stirring up feelings yesterday towards the single person. We were stirring up feelings yesterday for each other in the context of marriage. And last of all, we were thinking about the feelings towards each other in the family. And we tried to emphasize that the local company of the Lord's people, the local church, the local assembly, whatever terminology you want to use, that group of people, we just extended our thinking, are a family too. And just as we ought to have feelings towards our family, we ought to have feelings towards that family as well. And I'm just asking you today, and me, what sort of feelings do we really have towards them? Have you got any feelings for them at all? Or is this thing just all about you? Very practically this afternoon, one or two quick things to hang our thoughts on. Because I'm one of these practical kinds of persons, you probably know that by now, most of you. I want to know what things look like. And I want to know what things sound like. I sometimes listen to ministry and I think, what am I meant to do with that? How am I meant to work that out? How am I meant to apply that? It's all been very learned and erudite, but if I don't put it into practice, if I don't work it out, and I need sometimes some help with that, and sometimes we're guilty in ministry of just leaving people in midair. No wonder it just drifts away. And you say to me this afternoon, what does... If I actually care for the Lord's people, if I actually have real feelings towards them, if I have a relationship with them, what does that actually look like? What does it actually feel like? Well, I will say to you today, we're only just going to touch it this afternoon, go away and read through 1 Samuel chapter 30. And you'll discover what feelings look like and sound like. And you'll discover what real care for the people of God looks like and sounds like. I just want you for a few moments to look with me at the man after God's own heart, David. Now, let's be absolutely clear about this afternoon. What you see David in 1 Samuel chapter 30 isn't what you've seen him like in the chapters just before this. This shepherd of Israel, this shepherd of the sheep, even he knew what it was, and I take encouragement from this, sometimes to fail in respect to feelings for the Lord's people. And you fail, and so do I. You get selfish, and so do I. As long as I'm safe, as long as I'm secure, as long as everything's all right with me, that's fine. And I don't really care about the Lord's people. I don't really care about what they're feeling, as long as my interests are being answered. And you say, did David ever feel like that? He did. You go into the chapters just before chapter 30, and you'll discover him deep in self-interest. My safety, my security. Concerned about his own life at the hand of Saul. And so he just deserts the people of God, and he looks after his own interests, and you find him down with the Philistines, the enemy. And somehow the people of God, well, Well, they're still there. But he's not as close to them as he ought to be. But when I come to 1 Samuel chapter 30, I discover that he comes back. And so I get great encouragement from that, because I don't know about you, there are times when my life is just totally and utterly submerged in self-interest. Sometimes self-misery and self-pity, as well as self-gratification. There are all kinds of selves that dominate my life. And somehow my life just gets engulfed by that, and the people of God just move around that perimeter. And I don't think they have any feeling at all that I actually care about them. Do you care? And you say to me, well, what does that look like? What does it sound like? I want to tell you, when you come down this chapter, look at verse 3, it will tell you this. So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. Do they care? Do they care? Yes, they do. You say, how do you know? I want to tell you, before you ever reached that city, you would have known that they cared. You didn't even have to go inside it. You heard from outside that they cared. Look at verse 4. Yes, it says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. No more than that. Until they had no more power to weep. That's what care for the people of God looks like. And that's what it sounds like. I just want to tell you this. Before ever you got inside the city of Ziklag, as you approached the city of Ziklag, you would have heard that they cared. It says they lifted up their voice and wept. And when you got inside the city, you would have said, what is this noise? What is this sound? And you would have seen what care looked like. Because tears were rolling down the face of grown men. I think some of you know this, and some of you will discover it. You'll never ever be part of the married life without a tear flowing. I want to tell you this, you know this, many of you. If you don't, many of you will. You'll never, ever be part of a family life without tears flowing. If I see a married life without tears, and if I see a family life without tears, I wonder whether there's any care and love. Don't you? And many of us here today know that. But I want to tell you this, in keeping with our ministry yesterday, you'll never be part of a single life that cares for the family of which it is a part without tears. And I want to tell you this, if you really care about the local company, the local testimony to which you belong, if you really care about the local church of which you're a part, you'll know what it is to weep tears. I want to ask you, have you ever had any feelings like that? Just keep your finger there. Just keep your finger there. You know where I'm going. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2 will tell you this. You'll listen to this nursing mother that we looked at yesterday. Paul. Nursing mother. Hard, cruel, relentless. Where did we ever get that picture of this man? For when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and you'll discover verse 4, he'll say this. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. I can't get more feeling into a verse than that. You just read those verses and they just wash over you. You can't get more feeding in a verse than verse 4. Look at it. Affliction, anguish, where? Heart. You're getting married? I love you with all my heart. If you love someone with all your heart, you'll weep. You look at your family that God has blessed you with. I love them with all my heart. You won't love with all your heart without weeping, without tears. Because this thing is on the heart. I want to ask you, is the local company of the Lord's people to which you belong, is it on your heart? Do you love them with all your heart? I was just trying to get this home yesterday. The people of God aren't really my friends. The people of God are just the people I meet with on a Wednesday night, on a Friday night, on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday evening. They're not really, aren't they? Can I look at those people with whom I meet and say, my closeness, my nearness to them is such that I love them with all my heart? That's how we ought to feel about the Lord's people. And you listen to Paul, and he says, much affliction, anguish of heart. I wrote unto you, no, this isn't just a teardrop. This is many tears. And I wrote like this, and tears are staining the pages I wrote, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. I'm not in this to upset you. I'm not in this to cause you grief. But I'm in this to tell you how much I love you. And I don't need to tell you today. We said it so often. We know what these Corinthians were like. And we know what the people of God are like. And we know how they can test and try. And we know how they can wound and hurt. But I love them with all my heart. And because I love them with all my heart, you say to me, show me what that looks like. Show me what that sounds like. And you come near to the city of Ziklag, and you see grown fighting men weeping. And the tears rolling down their face. Right? We get so hard today. So stereotyped today. Nothing moves me. Nothing gets to me. I just keep this sort of exterior among the Lord's people. And you look sometimes and you say, do they really care about me? Are they really interested in me? And you watch David, the man after God's own heart, and you watch those who are with him, but particularly David we're with this afternoon, and you say, what does care for the people of God look like? It looks like this. Loving them so deeply with all your heart that when you see the need and when you see the distress, the tears flow. Ever got anywhere near that? Ever got anywhere near that? Have a look down at verse 6. I mustn't stop. And it says, and David was greatly distressed. If you care for the people of God, you'll get there. I tell you, you'll get there. Now, I know some of the younger folk around us today might say, never experienced that. I tell you, if you just go on and go on with an interest in the Lord's people and a care for the Lord's people, you will get there. I've been through my years of married life and I've been through with my two children. I've got there. I could not get through married life. I could not get through family life. I couldn't get through that without at times being greatly distressed. You'll get there. And you'll get there if you care for the Lord's people. And if you don't get there, I'll put a big question mark. Do you really care? If a tear never dims your cheek, I put a big question mark. Do you really care? And here it is. David was greatly distressed. Why? Well, you know why. Verse 6. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. That's what the people of God are like. I know they shouldn't be, but they are. The people of God have never changed from David's day to today. When there's no cloud on the horizon, no storm in their life, everything's smooth, and even you are popular with them. But when things go against them, when the tide runs against them, and the storms come, the people of God have never changed. They were like it in the days of Moses. They were like it in the days of Jeremiah. They were like it in the days of the Lord. They'll always turn, won't they? They'll always turn on the one that cares the most. I can say this quite freely here this weekend. I haven't stayed here. And I know this assembly at any rate. But sometimes, you know, you go away and you stay a weekend. And you stay with certain people. You sometimes feel you've actually been planted with certain people. Because it isn't long before it all comes out. And as we were saying yesterday, we don't talk positively about the assembly. Why? Maybe because we don't care about it enough. Because all we do is talk negatively about it. May the Lord deliver us from all the negative inputs. If we really cared, we want to speak well. You're not going to run your wife and husband down publicly, your son's daughter down publicly, are you? Well, some do. May the Lord deliver us from it. And you go away and you stay with people and they just pour out all their complaints about the assembly and about the elders. My, the elders come in for a fair stick, don't they? And I've discovered this 99.9% of the time, not every time, but 99.9% of the time, the people they complain about the most are the people who actually care about them the most. That's what the people of God are like. And you'll never care for the Lord's people without being greatly distressed. Because that's the stuff of it all. That's what they're like. And what are you like? What's your response and my response to that? My? We are so vindictive. If someone throws a stone at me, there's got to be a slightly bigger one going back. And then the stones get bigger and bigger till ultimately it becomes a boulder. And the boulders crush. Is that you? Is that how you move? Is that how I move? Is that care? The care that crushes? I must have the last word. I must have the last say. I must vindicate myself. What is genuine care for the Lord's people look like? What does it sound like? Look at the end of verse 6. For it says this at the end of verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. My. Ever tried it? Ever been there? Not enough, you say. This is real care. The real care, tears running down the face. The real care, distress. We're human beings. You will feel it. People say, don't take it personally. Well, sometimes it is personal. And sometimes it does really hurt and wound. And you will be greatly distressed. But what is true care? What does genuine care look and sound like? When someone has a go at me, when someone treats me as the scapegoat, It's not the boulder back that crushes. It's the heart that cares so much that it turns to one who will never crush, never destroy, never beat down. It turns and encourages itself in God and turns back to the people of God and views them in a different way altogether. There are times when I haven't done that. There are times when the broadside has come to me, I've just met it broadside on. And the response has been a natural one. There are times when I've known what it is just to turn to God and just encourage yourself in God, and you turn back and you'll find that the situation is altogether different. I've had an experience like that in the last year. I'm not saying this for my own glorification. I've had an experience like that in the last year where the tendency for me was the boulder had been thrown and a larger boulder back. Ever had a sleepless night in relation to the things of the Lord? And one sleepless night put it all right for me. Because just overnight you can just totally destroy and split apart an assembly. And one sleepless night, that is just turning and talking to God with a tear in your eye, can turn you back next day and put you in the context where suddenly the Lord has gone before. And you view the whole thing in a different light altogether. And suddenly what seemed insurmountable because you wanted to vindicate yourself is worked out because you encouraged yourself in the Lord your God. It works. Try it. Because that's what care looks like and sounds like. And I've not always responded like that, and there are others here who say, neither have I. But the times when we've had, that's shown the real, that's shown the genuine care. And things are resolved rather than torn apart. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That shows care. Come with me down to verse 8. And you'll discover in verse 8 it says this, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Do you ever find yourself getting impatient with some of the Lord's people? Do you ever find yourself sometimes reading this and getting a bit impatient? What a waste of time. Have you ever been like that in relation to the Lord's people? I know what this assembly needs. I know just what needs to be done to put this right. If only they'd just listen to me, I can get it sorted just like that. And I stop you and I say, how do you know? And you say to me, well, it's obvious. And I say to you, well, it might be obvious, but is the obvious always right in things of the Lord? It might be, but it might not be. And you just listen to someone who doesn't really care. I know. I know what needs to be done. I know what this assembly needs. I know what this person needs. And you say, is that a stuff of care? It isn't. You show me the person who cares. And I say to them, how do you know? And they'll say to me, because I've shared it with the Lord. And I know. That's knowledge with humility. David says, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And you say, what a waste of time. What's this man down on his knees for, praying to the Lord? Why doesn't he just get out there and sort out the whole thing? It's obvious what you need to do. The people of God are in the hands of the enemy. Get down there, overcome them, defeat them, release them. And here's a man down on his knees saying, shall I? Shall I? We got a brother in our assembly. Those of us who are impatient and want things done yesterday, you talk to my secretaries at work, they'll tell you, I love things done yesterday. They'll tell you. And you talk in our assembly to that brother, sometimes those of us who want things done yesterday, it can be really trying and testing. Because whenever we talk about anything, whenever we discuss anything that we might do in relation to the Lord's things, or in relation to the people of God, in relation to the assembly, he always says at the end of it, well, we need to go away and pray about this. But I want to do it now. Because it's obvious what needs to be done. We praise God, we thank God for that brother who says time and time again, we need to pray about this. Because that shows real, genuine care. Because the assembly is not what I think should be done, the assembly is what the Lord wants done. And what the Lord wants worked out. And before ever you or I open our mouth and say, I know, make sure first that you said to the Lord, shall I? Shall we? Show me the way. This is care. Because this is great, isn't it? Verse 8. And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Right? When did you last set out with that kind of confidence? Because you've actually asked the Lord, because you've actually made it a matter of prayer before the Lord. You're confident that you're on the right pathway and you set out and know you're victor and you know it's all going to be sorted out before you begin. I don't know enough of that, do you? I don't experience enough of that. Maybe because I don't care enough. If I cared for the people of God, tears would stain my cheeks. If I really cared for the people of God, I'd know what it was sometimes to be distressed. If I knew what it was to care enough, I'd know what it was to actually turn to God and encourage myself in him. I'd know what it was to be down on my knees in prayer and saying, shall we? Shall I? What's the pathway you want us to take? And it's hopeless. I haven't got the time. But can I just take you one step further? Do I care? Do I really care? And you know where I'm going, because it says, doesn't it, as you go down there, pursue. Verse 10, but David pursued. He and 400 men. And you say, as he pursues, and as you watch him with the 400 men, you say, I thought there were more men than that. I'm not very good at counting. I'm not very good at maths. But I think when I went into the city of Ziklag, there were more than 400 of them. I would have put it more like 500, 550, 600. And you say, where are the rest? And you discover when you come down to the end of verse 10, it says, for 200 abode behind. And you and me, in our lack of care, say, they're not much use. They're not much value. And we write them off. Did you know? And again, some of you have heard me say this so many times. Did you know that all the Lord's people were not in the same condition at any given time? Did you know that? Because you're on top of the world, not everybody is. Because everybody's spiritually, because you're spiritually on song, not everybody is. And conversely, because you're down in the dumps, not everybody else is. Did you have any idea about the company to which you belong? Have you got any idea about how they're feeling? And you say, not a clue. I know how I'm feeling. And because I know how I'm feeling, everybody else has got to feel like that. If I really cared, I'd know the condition of the people of God. And I'd know that not everybody felt exactly as I do. For it says at the end of verse 10, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they would not go over. Well, that's what you'd say. But the word of God says they were so faint they could not go over. Did you know that? That some people who are so faint, so weak, for whatever reason that might be, so faint, they can't go over. And do you write them off? Do you say they're of no value? I haven't got time, but you go home, read for yourself the end of the chapter, and you'll see that the 400 who went with David wrote them off. And when they came back victorious from the battle, in the front line of battle, they just wanted to write them off altogether. If you're feeling spiritually strong and you're in the forefront of the battle, remember David had to remind those 400 that anything they actually achieved, they achieved by the grace of God, not through their own efforts. Remember that. Any blessing you see, anything that's achieved for God, it's not a result of you, it's a result of God working through you. Keep humble. But David says, you shall not treat them so. And we used the term yesterday, and that's where it comes in 1 Samuel chapter 13. David refers to these 200 that were so faint that they could not go over. He refers to them as those who tarried by the stuff. Someone needs to do that. Someone needs to tarry by the stuff. Someone, I said yesterday, stayed at home when I was out and led my little dad to the Lord. Someone tarried by the stuff. I'm glad about that. And we need everybody among the Lord's people. And we need just to be having feelings towards them that say, I recognize that that person, those people, are not feeling so strong as others do at this particular time. But we're not going to write them off. We care for them so much that we'll recognize their value as those who tarry by the stuff. These are not rebellious people. These are not antagonistic people. These are people who are so faint they can't go over. And I just pray that God might open my eyes to just see the condition of the people of God as they really are, and not the feel, because I feel like this, everybody else has got to feel the same. Do we really care for the Lord's people? Go through 1 Samuel chapter 13, and I'll challenge you as to how you view the unsaved. But we're over time already, and there we must stop. Shall we pray?